Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hello, place to go. 609. Hi, how are you? Hello, place to go. This would be show number 1049. Hello, place to go. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Hello, place to go. And then, well, you know. Kid of the Week Tuesday. Pardon me, I'm all choked up. Kid of the Week Tuesday, Elise Glink later. Talking about your money. Have you invested yet in Bitcoin? There's something called Litecoin now, L-I-T-E. Which, you know,
is that a lower calorie Bitcoin?
Yes, that's right. That's right. The non-fat Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. We'll ask her about that. And we got a bunch of stuff to give away today. As well, of course, CLTV, as always, will join us at 9 o'clock. At 6:10, are you ready? Let's do it. The top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one. Today is special election day in Alabama, where the people of Alabama will make their statement about how they'd like to be seen, known, and remembered. On one side is a man named Roy Moore, accused of being a child predator, kicked out of a mall, and someone who not only may have molested a 14-year-old, but began following his wife around when she was a teenager and not of legal age. I guess of legal age in Alabama. I think she was 17. It's a hot mess. Alabama votes today. It'll all come down to turnout. Normally in a special election, turnout is 20% or less. But it needs to be much more than that. And the minority vote in particular needs to show up. And we'll see how angry women are about Roy Moore. Roy Moore trying to become a senator today. The senators that are already in place in Washington, many of them cowards of their own, they will have to decide then how they go forward. Last night at the final rally, Roy Moore's wife said, and I'm only slightly paraphrasing here, the fake news wants to know if we're anti-Semites. Well, I'm here to tell you, one of our lawyers is a Jew.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. Attorneys is a Jew.
Well, case closed. Then. Well, that's fine. Then we're done here. That's
some
fine.
Of my best friends are attorneys.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that one of your lawyers was a Jew.
Oh, God.
The Saturday Night Live writing staff is dancing. Item number two. Thank you. Governor Bruce Rauner ripped the, quote, unholy trinity is profiting from Cook County property tax reform. That would be Berrios and who else? Who else, Steve, is in the unholy trinity?
Oh, boy. This is a quiz. You're getting me here. I'm stumped.
Well, we'll have to look it up because I don't know who he's including in the trinity as well. It could be Pritzker, Berrios Pritzker, because Pritzker was certainly part of the property tax situation. Obviously, Madigan.
Preckwinkle? Would Preckwinkle be?
Berrios, Madigan, and?
Yeah, there should only be three.
He was linking...
Pritzker?
You just said his name, yeah, Pritzker, sorry.
So it's Pritzker, Berrios, and Madigan.
The unholy trinity.
The unholy trinity. Okay. Next! Sexual harassment allegations and accusations are piling up. The NFL Network has suspended three other analysts, all former players, including Hall of Fame running back Marshall Faulk, after allegations by a former stylist for the network. What does a stylist do? They pick out the clothes.
I think so, in
pick
this case.
Pick out the suits.
Yeah.
Pick out what they wear.
Wouldn't that be a wardrobe person?
I don't know. Stylist, or probably the same name?
No, because they style them.
Yeah.
You know, they get them dressed.
Several women had also spoken out during the presidential campaign who have publicly renewed their accusations of sexual misconduct against Donald Trump. President Trump says they're lying. Oh, well, it's like that Jew thing. Case closed then. When he said they're lying, why do we keep bringing it up? Next! Is that the new standard, by the way? The new standard is if you deny it, that nobody can talk about it. If that's the case, then let's open the prisons. There's a lot of people behind bars who say they're innocent.
Or if you have an election to cover it up, that too. So if a bunch of people vote that it's okay?
I'm going to get into that more later, but the thing that I am just perplexed by, because I heard this discussed all day yesterday, because the president won the election doesn't mean he's not a sexual predator. Those two things are not equal. So the argument by the White House that the people have spoken means nothing in relation to the charges by the women.
Yeah, it doesn't cancel it out.
No, not at all. Not at all. Next. The homeward mayor had to be rescued from an icy lake after retrieving the family dog after watching his beloved black lab Annie fall into the icy water during a Sunday afternoon walk. Homewood Mayor Rich Hofeld said he knew he had to go in after her. He's 80 years old, and he jumped in the water, was able to get the dog out, but then couldn't get out himself.
Right.
And a passerby helped him get out. Do we know how he's doing, Steve?
I have not seen an update on him, but in my mind, he's a hero for going in after.
He said he's okay. It was a jogger called 911, and I don't think they even know who it was. Just a good Samaritan called 911. They were able to get him out, and he was treated for hypothermia, but he's doing okay.
I was trying to picture where he was. Like, did he make it back to the bank, or was he still stuck out where the dog was? Because the impression I have is that he pushed the dog up on the ice that was solid enough where the dog could be okay. But then he couldn't get out.
That was his account of it, that he was able to get
the dog
out.
Okay, so he wasn't close to the bank.
I don't think he was.
Yeah. I'm surprised there's that much ice anyway. I mean, it doesn't feel like we've had enough ice.
Yeah, it hasn't been cold enough.
Yeah.
Damn.
Dave, I'm kind of curious. Would you have done this with your dog? Because I sure would have.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a member of your family.
I wouldn't have hesitated.
You're going to go in.
If I go by a pond, though, and see either one of you stuck in the ice, I don't know.
You're not going to stop and help?
Seriously,
I mean,
really?
I'll stop.
Maybe call 911 for it.
Not even throw us a scarf or anything?
I'm a big dog fan.
I know you are.
Thanks.
But not so much us.
Well, if I had a scarf that was long enough, I'd throw it out to see if you guys could grab on. I'd pull you in.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess I'd help.
Or stick or something. But
I keep my dog on a leash when I'm in a park or forest.
Well, that's the scary thing, right? If you got your black lab and she's just out for a run.
Yeah.
The dog doesn't know. The dog's going to run out on the ice.
And my dog, I have a black lab. He would be in the water in a minute. So that's why he's always on a leash as well.
So
loves the water.
Then there's this. Mayor Rahm Emanuel was on the Colbert Late Show last night promoting his podcast that he's promoted here many times and was quoted as saying, "Our motto is a city he'll never sleep in." I don't understand that. Is that a shot at Colbert? Oh, it's a shot
no,
at
it's Trump.
Trump. I got it. Emanuel chose the Cubs over the White Sox, thick crust over thin crust pizza, and the John Hancock Center over the Willis Tower in a Colbert quiz.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think he dropped your name from what I understand.
Well, he should have, obviously, because I've been a big part of whatever. And then there's this. Let's go live into Miami to Dave. What do we know about Jay Cutler?
Jay Cutler, well, we know this much, Steve. There were two quarterbacks in the game last night between the Dolphins and the Patriots. Which one had the passer rating of 112 and which one had the passer rating of 59.5? Was it Jay Cutler with the 59.5 or was it Tom Brady?
Logic would say the 59.5 would have been Jay Cutler.
Yeah, but logic would say that I wouldn't be asking this if it was Cutler.
So Tom Brady had a 59.5.
I hit through two interceptions. Jay Cutler, 25 of 38, 263 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, and Miami cooled off the red-hot New England Patriots 27-20.
So Jay Cutler has come of age as a quarterback. It took 47 seasons here in Chicago and a year, almost a year off before he joined the Dolphins. Is that right? Did he play last year? I can't even remember at this point.
No, this is his first year in Miami.
Right.
Remember the
Did he play for the Bears last year?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was only off for a few weeks.
You deleted that from your
memory. Yeah, I really did. Good for Jay Cutler. Congratulations, Jay.
Reporting live from Joe Robbie Stadium or Sun Life Stadium or... what is it? Landshark Stadium?
All of those.
In
every
Miami.
One of those. Your
Dave Edit,
yes.
WGN Sports.
Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men. Mary with a traffic update. One of our lawyers is a Jew. That's got to be the phrase that pays all morning. Roy Moore's wife. I don't know what they're talking about because one of our lawyers is a Jew. The world has lost its mind. 6:24. John Acosta, you're going to be leaving for a road trip to do stand-up comedy in Ohio, where you're very big.
Very big in Ohio.
You got 2 weeks of shows
two
in
weeks,
Ohio.
Yeah.
And because of that, you won't be around for Friday when we do our Secret Santa presentation for everyone else. So Sandberg is here now to give you your present because she drew you out of the hat.
I know, which is pretty good.
I know.
It's pretty
cool.
Early Christmas thing. I love this.
I know. And I, first of all, you should tell people he's going to be at the Funny Bone or whatever if they're in
Ohio.
Yeah,
if you're listening in Ohio, you're going to be at the Funny Bone in Columbus. Where else are you going to be?
Cincinnati after that. Funny Bone in
they're
Cincinnati.
Both Funny Bones?
Both Funny Bones. Yeah,
funny Bone
funny
tour.
Bones.
Okay. Funny Bones in Cincinnati and in Columbus.
Okay.
So because he's leaving, this affected the gift. Just so you know,
I don't understand.
This is the gift he's getting is not really all that funny or radio friendly. However, I would have gotten
definitely
him.
Shoot it down before you.
Wait,
put it
is,
on.
It, is it perishable?
No, it's not perishable because I know he's leaving tomorrow to go to Ohio. So I was going to get him. I taught him how to make roasted cauliflower, and I was going to get him cauliflower and parchment paper because I told him how to make it on parchment paper. But I didn't want to get that.
What is it with you and parchment paper? You make everything on parchment paper.
Oh, but it makes a huge difference.
It's a life changer.
Have you had roasted cauliflower?
Yes, yes.
And you like it?
First time we made it was with tinfoil.
Tinfoil, yeah. Before I told him about the parchment.
Sticks.
Parchment paper, oh, it was phenomenal.
And then also I was going to give him some A1 sauce because I like to dip it in A1 sauce, the cauliflower.
It's good in A1.
So.
Let me ask you a question. If you're going to be dipping cauliflower in A1 sauce, why don't you have a steak?
Well, because a steak is way harder on your digestive system.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the cauliflower is delicious. Just a little A1. But Jackie would have been stuck with a lot of cauliflower, parchment paper, and A1 sauce. So I had to get something that...
I just feel like if you eat cauliflower, it should taste like crap. I don't know. I just think it's...
Wow. I love cauliflower.
Wow. I think it's probably not true to the cauliflower.
Now, you can't make it in your Instapot.
No. Which, by the way, I'm debuting tonight.
Oh, serious?
Wait, you got an Instapot?
Yeah, I got one. I bought one.
For yourself?
Well, no, for the servants. Yes, for me.
Well, I didn't know if it was like a gift for somebody.
No, for me. Yeah. All right, so what'd you get him?
Well, John.
Can I open? Oh, yeah. This is exciting. I love this.
Now,
this is
it might have some dirty words, so.
Oh, okay.
Just so you're a professional.
Okay. I like this. Okay.
Dirty words.
Dirty words. Okay.
Okay.
No, actually, can I say?
No.
Even, no? Okay.
When is a blank
pain in the ass?
Okay, that's fine.
That.
Yeah.
Not a blank pain in the ass.
Okay.
Okay. Because that's my.
It's match game.
That's his nickname.
Yes, that's my nickname. When the blank pain in the ass is from John from DeCause.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Merry Christmas, ho ho ho. Merry Sandberg Boyle.
Whoa, Merry Christmas, what?
Merry Sandberg Boyle.
No, Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God. Favorite.
Merry Christmas.
I'm sorry. To my favorite depressed fish.
Oh, that's sweet.
You know, and I don't know if you know, but that we, you know that where my father saw that.
When the fish, remember when the fish were found in the lakes and they're a little depressed because they're on antidepressants?
They were depressed from the antidepressants that people throw away.
I sent John a text because you had made a request.
I asked if John could be a depressed fish on the show.
So I get this text from Mary, can I be a depressed fish? And I'm thinking, wow, I know how proud my father is of me that this is the text I get. Hey, today, can I be a depressed
fish? He said he could use that to explain to people, what do you do for a living? This is what
here,
I do.
Here, there you go. And we've saved it. We've actually saved it. Yes, that was very good. Sorry about that.
But I don't understand. What's the present?
Oh, here's my little depressed fish.
Oh, it's a depressed fish, and it's a gift card to buy parchment paper?
I'm sorry. No, it
is. What is going on?
It is
Boston
Fish Market. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
So it's like a real gift.
Oh, and this is, this is.
Well, how did, that's not the Secret Santa thing. The Secret Santa thing's supposed to be hilarious.
I know, but he's going on the road. All the cauliflower would have just perished.
I'll take this over any
of
this.
And depressed, there's a funny tie with the depressed fish.
Yes, it is. No, it absolutely is.
You worked it out with the card.
Yeah, I did. I thought really hard about it.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yes, it was. And you had to make the trip there.
Listen, John is a good present receiver, though, isn't he?
Right? Yeah,
he's always happy about what he gets.
He would have faked it even if he wasn't. He,
I gave him
a
rock.
I the best part of it was I got the eye roll from Mary when
when you
read
depressed fish.
I know, and I'm like, some people, I like that. I don't
know
what.
You skipped the punchline.
But this place is tremendous. Dave, you know this place as well.
Yes, I do.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, easy on the free plug. Let him buy some
advertising. I haven't said anything, but it's tremendous.
Mary, I think you set the bar high for all of us now. We've got to beat Mary. The bar's high.
Yeah. Based on what I bought, I don't see that happening. all right, congratulations to both of you, and enjoy your time
ecstatic.
In Cincinnati and Columbus.
So where are we going, John?
We're now going to take a picture with his gift card for the gallery that'll post on Friday.
Wait, when is this? We have to do this Friday?
Friday.
Yeah, by Friday.
So you haven't bought anything yet, Mary?
Maybe.
Sound very prepared.
Wow.
We'll come back in just a moment. Kid of the Week coming up in a few minutes on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Sponsored by Allstate. Allstate believes good starts young and wants you to know that they want to inspire the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service and paying it forward. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help us recognize a kid who could be Kid of the Week. They want an Amazon gift card, Lou Malnati's Pizza, but most of all, they will be recognized for the goodness in them and the good that they are doing. And that's the important thing. Which brings us to today's Kid of the Week. First, the nominator. It's Ann. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. So excited to be on the air.
Well, I appreciate
it.
I appreciate you doing it. So tell us about Alina. She's 10 years old?
Yeah, she's a fourth grader at Spring Hill School in Roselle, Illinois. And she went downtown with her family and was really disturbed by, you know, some of the people that were on the street holding up signs asking for food. So she talked to her parents about it, and she decided to hold a neighborhood food drive. She made up flyers, dropped them off to all her neighbors, went back a week later, picked up the food, and donated it.
Nice.
And our school heard about it, and she talked to our student leadership team, so we decided to have a school-wide food drive. So, you know, that one little act of kindness kind of spread to so many other kids. And then she is now putting packages together of blankets, toothpaste, toothbrushes, and food. And she and her aunt and family are going to be going downtown again and dropping off those packages to people that they see on the street.
And you are her fourth grade teacher?
No, I am an instructional coach at the school.
All right, but you obviously know Alina from school?
Yes, yes.
And this is Spring Hills in Roselle?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's very nice. Well, let's get her in here. Let's meet.
Okay.
Let's meet Alina here. Let me. You know, when I'm in charge, Anne, of running things, it's always
yeah.
a possibility. I'm going to hang up on everybody.
I noticed that.
That was nice.
Alina, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Say hi to your friend, Anne. I'm sorry, Miss O'Neill. Mrs. O'Neill. Say hi to Mrs. O'Neill.
She's good.
Hi, Alina.
So tell me about yourself, Anne. What do you like to do for fun? I mean, Alina, what do you like to do for fun?
I love playing with my dog. I love doing art and gymnastics.
And gymnastics, do you tumble, or what's your best thing that you do in gymnastics?
I'm the best at bars, but I like floor the most.
Okay, me too. Yeah, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
Oh, you're the big kid in the family. So you have to help take care of him, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's not fun.
Who's more work, your little brother or your little sister?
My little brother, for sure.
Yeah, you know, boys. Oh, boy. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a veterinarian.
Well, that's nice. So do you have critters at home, dogs or cats or anything?
Yeah, I have 3 dogs and a foster dog.
Wow. I didn't know that. What kind of dogs are they?
There's a chocolate lab and a pit bull mix and some sort of greyhound whippet mix mutt thing.
Uh-huh. Mutts are good. Yeah, yeah.
And is it dark chocolate or milk chocolate?
A dark chocolate. It's healthier. What are the names of the dogs?
Ernie, Hefe, and Allison.
How great is the name for a dog is Ernie? Come on.
That's great.
That's tremendous. Your friend from school was telling us that you saw some homeless folks on the street and it just got to your heart and bothered you, right?
Yeah.
Well, you ought to be proud of yourself for what you got started here. Did you realize that the whole school might get involved?
No, not at the time.
Yeah? Well, what do you think of that?
I'm really proud of myself.
That's good. That's what we like to hear. And did you get any of your friends involved? Because this is the best thing to do. You know, you can tell your friends, I did it, you can do it too. And then we spread it all over the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because a bunch of my friends are in student leadership. So, and I was talking to student leadership with them for a while.
Well, you touch people's lives and you help get a whole bunch of food together for folks that really need the help, at Christmas time and all year long. Dave, do you want to say hello to our friend?
I do, and I think this is wonderful, Elena. So when you go downtown, when you go into the city and hand out the packages, and are these like bags of food? What sort of packages are you putting together, and what kind of a reaction do you expect to get?
Like, not necessarily just food, just other things that, like, a human needs to, like, have in their life to be, like, a happy, more of a happy person.
Sure, sure. Maybe a toothbrush, something like that.
And stuff like that. And I'm hoping to see a really happy reaction because it took a lot of effort to put them together.
Well, I'm sure you will. Great. I don't doubt it. And I look forward to hearing what your next event will be. And and thank you very much for telling us about Elena. These are the things
that
I think inspire kids. She sounds like a great kid to me.
She is.
All right.
There is good in the world, Steve.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Yeah. I'm
quite aware of that. All right, both of you, hold on, please. You know what?
Okay.
Let's give Ann something too for being on.
Oh wow! Thanks.
Yeah, you guys go ahead in there and pick something out for Ann. Maybe one of Rokon's cars. We haven't given away one of those in a while.
Probably a nice idea.
Well, and Elena's not old enough to drive yet, but she is our Allstate Kid of the Week. And as mentioned, just go to the WGNRadio.com webpage, search Kid of the Week, and you can nominate as well. And we look forward to meeting our next friend like Elena, who's going to bring these packages down and hand them out to folks who are having a rough
time. Isn't that great?
It's really cool. Takes a lot of guts. It's courage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Mary's back with your traffic update. What do you got now? So I don't know how close you might have been listening at the bottom of the hour when Dave was doing sports. But, yeah, it's funny. I thought I almost heard him say that Northwestern won by 65 points last night. Was that what you said?
That is what I said.
Go Cats.
65 points.
Most lopsided victory in Northwestern history.
Where does that rank in NCAA history?
I'm sure there have been games of blowouts of that magnitude, but
it doesn't
happen every day.
So Chicago State's not really specializing in basketball right now?
They're struggling a bit. Let's put it that way. They've played a very demanding schedule, and that's what they do. I mean, they play a lot of road games. They've played at Purdue, and they played at Notre Dame, and They played a lot of tough teams, and they've played them on the road. And it got ugly early, and it never really got any better last night.
So the more amazing thing to me is you told me the score at halftime. What was the score at halftime?
55-8. That was the fewest points Northwestern's ever allowed in the half of a game, in the shot clock era.
To be kind, was Northwestern way, way, way on their game last night, or is Chicago State really not ready for primetime?
I think it was a combination of things. Chicago State couldn't make a shot. They were turning the ball over. Northwestern played really well defensively early in the game and just took Chicago State completely out of it. They couldn't get a decent shot.
What was the final score?
96-31.
That's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah. Don't they have a slaughter rule? They need one.
I remember
there were times last night.
Yeah,
you were just like, please stop.
I remember when my daughter was playing basketball. She was in this rec league when she was probably 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there. And they played a team from the city. This is out in the burbs. And the team won, and I don't think I'm too far off on this, 82-4. And I just remember how disheartening it was for the kids because this is the argument, right? Do they need to go through it to understand that and how to deal with it? Or do you go, well, that's about enough of that, and we need to wrap this game up? Because Little League, you've got a slaughter rule, but that's little kids. Mm-hmm. At what point do you go play it out?
Well, and in this case, these are Division I athletes.
Yeah.
And they played a little better in the second half.
So yeah, apparently they scored 23 points.
Well, but if you're the coach, then you're saying, okay, we got another game coming up in a few days. They're playing Bradley, I think, on Saturday, as a matter of fact, I think at home. And so you've got to keep after it and hope that your guys get better. And
the only way to get better is to keep playing.
The only way to get better. And the leading scorer averages 16 points a game. He was preseason candidate in the Western Athletic Conference, their league. He was scoreless in the game last night because Northwestern planned to shut him down, and they shut him down. They shut him out. So he's not going to get shut out.
It brings up interesting challenges, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's challenges as a coach on how you play the second half when it's 55-8. Yeah. You don't want to show disrespect to the other team. You want to go at them as competitively as possible, but you also don't want to run up the score. You don't want the final to be 110-12. So that's an interesting challenge. But there's an interesting challenge from your perspective in calling it. Have you ever called a game like that before?
I've called, well, not quite to that magnitude, but I've called a lot of blowouts in my day.
Yeah, a lot of them on the wrong end of
I've been on the wrong end of a few.
But when you're calling a game like that, you sort of run out of ways to describe how poorly it's going for the other team, don't you?
They found different ways to make it go poorly last night.
Okay. Yeah. So they kept it entertaining.
Well, this was not a pretty game. I mean, there's no way around
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, this was yeah, it was ugly. And the games like that, it's obviously it's good for Northwestern. It's rough for Chicago State. But
do these kids from Chicago State keep their heads up, shake hands when it's over?
Oh, they shook hands. Sure. I mean, there was one point where Chicago State tempers flared a little bit, and they drew two technical fouls, sending Northwestern to the free throw line for four straight free throws and maintained possession of the ball. And I think they scored then too. So I mean, it's like nothing was going right for them.
Who's the coach at Chicago State?
Tracy Dildy, who's a good coach. He's been around town for a long time. He was a longtime assistant at UIC. He was at DePaul at one time, knows the city.
I'm going to give him a lot of credit because that's
it's a tough job.
Tough position to be in.
And this is a team, last year they came to Evanston, came from 14 down, took the lead, and the game was tied, I think, with 3 minutes to go. Northwestern won by four.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's, you know, you have some good nights and you have some.
So they won by four last year. They won by 65 this year.
This year.
The trend is rather dramatic.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next year should. I coached, I volunteered for my grade school, St. James in Maywood. I coached their basketball team for 3 years. And we played a city school. And their center and forward showed up, both with their wives and family. That gives you any indication how big they were. But, and I don't even know if we scored, but I. The deal was you get ice cream if you win, and I told them before we even played, everybody's getting ice cream.
Right. Right.
And I'm hoping Chicago State got ice cream last night.
I'm sure they, you know.
Yeah, if they wanted
take
it.
Take them in the bus and stop.
It's tough.
The Dairy
it's Queen. Tough.
Yeah, it's a tough deal.
Now, I will say this. My golf team in high school, do you remember when Sports Illustrated used to do the back page thing?
And well, they do the faces in the crowd. I think.
Right, but this was like a one-page feature on a high school team somewhere in the country. And we had won 97 consecutive matches. And if we won 100 matches, we were going to be featured in Sports Illustrated. Oh, I was on the team that lost the 98.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, you still should have been mentioned.
Yeah, probably. Steve Cochran joined this team, and they lost the 98. That would have been a headline. All right. Well, next Northwestern game on WGN is when?
It's the next one here is on Saturday. They're playing at home on Thursday night against Valpo.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Every day. Big Ten tournament.
Everywhere.
You know, I get up every morning, the alarm clock warning. I take the 8:15 in the city. There's a whistle up above us, people pushing, people shoving. You understand what I'm saying? Unless he has a better offer. It's 6:58. We'll come back, get the news in a minute.
All right, I'm out of it. 20 WGN.
It's 7:12. Speaking of business, before we get to Steve Burness, what are we doing New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve. It is our second year at the Tivoli, beautiful Tivoli Theater, downtown.
You can make it sound sort of mellow. Keep going.
I'm sorry.
It's a second-hand
It's going to be great this year. Mark Mazremes will be in later today. But Mike Toomey from WGN Morning Television Show, Tim Banker, Steve and myself. And it's going to be a variety show. We've got everything happening. Kenny Drake, the bad impressionist. Bigfoot will be doing time. Music. It's going to be phenomenal. You go to Eventbrite.com, just click on Cochran New Year's Eve and get your tickets and do it fast because tickets are going. So it's great.
Hey, we should give away some tickets later.
That's fine.
Let's do that as well.
Okay.
It's 7:13 and Steve Burness joins us now. He was really enjoying my rendition of Taking Care of Business. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, Steve. How are you?
Well, you know, I got exactly what you warned me. I got whacked at a gas station and somebody got my American Express number.
It's happening so often. It's amazing where all these skimming devices are, not only in banks, they're in retail stores, gas stations. It's not a matter of if; it's a matter of when somebody's going to get hit. That's the problem.
Where did you get hit, Mary?
Gas station. Yeah.
So
I'm not going to say which one, but yeah,
the skimmer. I don't want to say which one either, but it rhymes with Blevin 11.
Mine runs with Warrington.
There you go. Yes. So the skimmer attaches sort of loosely. Is it visible or is it like you have to rattle the card slot a little bit to see it?
It's usually visible, but some are internal, depending on the gas station, obviously, depending on what happened, if they actually opened the gas pump itself and put it inside. Most times it's outside. It's just a simple reader. It's Velcroed on pretty loosely, and unfortunately, consumers don't wiggle it or look at it and see if it is a fake reader that goes over the reader itself in the gas station. So you're actually just passing your card through it. So what I suggest is jiggle it and shake it and see.
Wiggle it.
Within reason.
Just within a reason, little make bit.
Sure, make sure it's not a skimming device.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That works. Questions?
Go ahead. Sorry. No, Dave, go.
Steve, isn't there some responsibility on the part of the gas stations? And you mentioned banks. I mean, shouldn't they be really diligent about helping protect the consumer in this situation?
Well, there is no liability for the consumer. It's just the aggravation of getting your money back. So they'll take all the responsibility for it. Unfortunately, the thieves walk up to it pretty quickly and easily. Now this technology, it's getting smaller and smaller, and they quickly just place it over. I mean, they went into banks and done it, and so it's a matter of getting past security and not anybody seeing what they're doing. But, again, there's no liability for consumers. We all end up paying for it down the road.
Well, you mentioned
higher fees.
Yeah, you mentioned that the inside the gas pump. Well, does that mean it's an inside job? Who can open a gas pump?
Well, sometimes they break into those. I mean, I don't know the intricacies of that, but they sometimes are able to open the gas pumps.
What the hell are they watching inside the store? There's also so many lottery tickets.
That's my point. Right?
Lottery tickets and taquitos to sell. Come on.
They put security outside the store.
Can't they lock the gas pumps?
They do now. They do lock them now really soundly, and they put a seal over all most of them now so they can tell if it's been tampered with in any way. But most of the times, the skimmers are just placed outside.
The only reason,
done.
Yeah, the only reason I knew is because I got my ID stolen this spring, so I'm a little hypervigilant about it.
And sure.
Not hypervigilant enough, obviously. But because of that, I've got warnings on every credit card, on accounts and things. And I got an American Express warning that said, did you buy $660 worth of tickets from Ticketmaster 30 minutes ago? Mm. And I did not.
Right.
So that's the only reason I knew. And I called American Express, and they took it from there. So, good
it's
times.
Good point, Steve. Putting those warnings on your cards, all your cards, and seeing anything over $50, you'll be notified by a text. And this way, it's the first indication you've been hit in some way, shape, or form. It's not a matter of you'll get your money back. It's just the aggravation of going through it, especially if you use your debit card because it's your money. And unfortunately, before you get your money back, they have to go through the proper, investigation. We had a woman, late last year, it was about $10,000 was taken out of her account. Well, she had no money to pay her bills, for the next month.
Ridiculous.
Because that's all she had. So,
John, question?
She got it back.
Oh, procedure-wise, let's say I find this. It comes off in my hand. I assume it comes off in my hand if it's Velcro. Do I bring it in and show the guy who is getting minimum wage? Who's responsible for this? Who do I tell?
You called 911 at the time. You called the police department right away.
Oh, serious?
Identity theft.
Sure, it's a crime.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
it's a crime.
Okay.
It is a crime. And they want to catch the perpetrators, obviously. So, yeah, it's 911, or you can go in the gas station and tell them as well, but it's best to call the police yourself.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
So where'd you get this, mister?
Yeah. Now, but I don't call them if I put it on there.
No, and here's the thing. The people that bought the tickets with my credit card, depending on the show, I might have gone.
I was going to say.
It's
case by case.
So. All right, Steve, when we come back, I'm going to run through several scams that are out there. You'll tell me what we should know about them, and everyone should listen and learn. At 7:18, Mary's back with you. Traffic first on 720 WGN. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business. Every way I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Steve Burnett's back from the Better Business Bureau that just, as a group, has done a major study that you could learn from, that we could all learn from, on a sophisticated scheme that helps tech support scammers steal millions and millions. But give me the background on this.
Well, basically, we issued the Better Business Bureau issued a study yesterday called Pop-Up and Imposters. We're seeing a dramatic increase in complaints and questions concerning this type of fraud. So this fraud is basically people saying they're basically tech support people, and that your computer has a virus on it. So most likely you'll get a pop-up on your screen, and it says your computer has severe problems on it, viruses, it's being locked. Please call this number to be unlocked. And that number, that's actually just an advertisement. It's just a banner put on your page, and you're thinking it's a virus. So you call the 800 number, and it's a technician on the side who gladly will help you. And if you give them your credit card information, and then access sometimes to your computer. So not only are you paying them and they're going to commit identity theft, they're actually going to go into your system and put malware and spyware on it, and then they may, down the road, compromise your bank information because they have this sophistication now to watch what you're doing because they have access to your computer. So
is this the biggest scam that's out there right now?
Right now. It's increasing, yes. That's what we're seeing all across the world, though. It's not just a local problem, Steve. It's not a national problem. It's a world problem. And unfortunately,
well, what are these? Do these hackers and scammers, do they have like a convention where they share knowledge? Hey, you know what's working for me in Tanzania? You should try this in Toledo. I mean, how do they swap knowledge? Is this dark web stuff?
They have dark web stuff. There's so many dark web things out there that they have their own websites and they have, stolen credit. You could buy stolen credit card numbers. I mean, there's just so much out there.
I think about the old days when I would just get an email from a Nigerian asking if I was happy with my manhood. Mm-hmm. Now there's so much more going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, millions of dollars is being taken on this particular scam, and it's really consumers need to understand that if you see this thing pop up on your screen, it's all you have to do is shut it off and click it off. It's not a virus.
Just ignore it.
Ignore it. But unfortunately, Microsoft, last time they looked at it, there was they losses topping $21 million that they were getting from these particular individuals. It's just amazing the amount of people that are falling for this. And, you know, even Microsoft said that millennials are most likely to lose money on this scheme, while older consumers are the ones most likely to complain. So it's a big problem. If somebody calls you out of blue, too, and says a robotic call saying that your computer is broken or you need protection, call this number. It is a tip-off to the rip-off. It is a scam. And Bill Gates is not going to call you telling you that your computer has viruses on it. He has too many things to do.
Bill Gates is at the gas station taking my credit card the other night.
There you go. So
I did not expect that at all. Great job by you as always, Steve. For information on this survey, go to the Better Business Bureau website.
Yeah, BBV.org. Before you buy or hire, BBV it. It's so much information, and especially the new scams of the Christmas, the fingerlings. The parents are looking for fingerlings for their kids, and there's a lot of fake websites. Please check the offer out with the Better Business Bureau first.
Yeah, before you spend the money or have the money spent by somebody else. Let's do a quick match game for Carol Burnett tickets. Carol Burnett tickets coming up. Stand by for that. You could be a big winner. Not a scam. Actual Carol Burnett tickets. We need two callers at 312-981-7200. That's the number. We'll do that next on 720 WGN. All right, Dennis and Jim are standing by. Oh, by the way, in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, when CLTV joins us, I will ask then, not now, Sandberg mock the hat I'm wearing. So in the 9 o'clock hour, if you can tell me what hat I'm wearing by watching CLTV, I'll give you everything on the prize list that Sandberg's willing to give up.
And those people that call in to tell us, I have a trick so I know that you're watching on CLTV and not watching on the stream.
Oh, good. Excellent. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I have a pair of tickets for Carol Burnett June 13th. Due to overwhelming demand, she's added a second and final event at the Chicago Theater on June 13th. That doesn't sound good for a woman of her age, a second and final event. That seems presumptuous. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or call the Chicago Theater as well, and the ChicagoTheater.com box office in business for this starting today. All right, Carol Burnett tickets. I took my mom to see this. Loved it. Loved it. Let's go with Dennis first from Arlington Heights. Dennis, are you ready to play? Hello, Dennis. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here's John.
Okay, you ready, Dennis? You know how to play, correct?
Okay, we just covered this, John. Ask the question.
Well, Steve said, are you ready to play?
Yes. All right, what's the question?
I thought it was different, but I'll take everything now. That's fine. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer said, not only does my nose light up when I get scared, but so does my blank.
Oh.
So don't give me your answer, Dennis. Hang on. I'll ask for it. Let me make sure all the celebrities in. I'll read it one more time. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer said, not only does my nose light up when I get scared, so does my blank.
Okay.
All our celebrities in.
Locked
everybody
in.
Upstairs.
Good.
In the booth, yes.
Mike, you got yours? All right, everybody's good. Said.
Dennis, what is your answer?
Behind.
Behind. Very good. Very good.
I got an LED lit fanny.
That's good. Dave, what is your answer?
I said, but. Is that,
Dave, it's
okay. That acceptable?
You.
I don't know. Is yes. that a
yeah,
of course. Does that work? Okay,
butt behind,
good.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the anatomy? The behind is the butt.
Okay, yeah. I just want to make sure the judges
double
accept.
T butt right here. You got two already, Dennis.
Perfect. Yes. Mary Sandberg.
Tongue.
Oh. Are you filling the role of Andrea today with the bad answer? Why tongue?
It's close to the nose.
Good Lord.
It's good. Wow. It's good. Jake.
Mike Jacobson.
Mike Jacobson. Sorry.
I went with rump.
Rump. Yeah, very good.
Right.
Same
ding,
thing.
Ding,
very
ding,
good.
Ding.
No, is perfect. That the same?
Rump, yes. Butt, behind.
God, we've got to get you in a biology class.
Derriere.
What you are being right now? Yeah. Yes, that all matches.
A rump, a fanny, and a butt. They're all the same thing.
Yes, Mary upstairs.
I said tail.
That's. I'm not going to match that one.
Well,
I'm not going to match
the tip
that
of the
one.
Tail.
It could be that little yes. tail sticking off.
Could yeah. be. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not a good answer. It's
yeah,
just not going to
match.
It's
a good answer.
I'll tell you, it's no tongue.
Yeah. Because then when they're flying, they have the tail and the nose, and it's.
I'm
good.
Sorry, you've already been turned down.
Yeah. But three, you, Dennis,
three,
you got
Dennis.
Three.
Dennis off to a flying start. Let's go over to Jim. Jim's in Bedford Park. Hello, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, you got to match three butts. There's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Whenever you're ready, John, go ahead.
Are you ready, Jim? Here we go.
Let's do it.
Mary Vanderbilt can sleep anywhere, she says, but I always take a nap during blank.
Ooh. Come
Mary
on.
Vanderbilt can sleep anywhere, She says, but I always take a nap during blank. Let's see, as our celebrities write down, make sure everybody's ready. Jim, don't give me your answer until I ask for it. Rock Hudson is 64 today.
What?
It's an inside joke. That's the stuff that Gene Rayburn used to throw in.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, does everybody have an answer? Yes. Jim, what is your answer?
I'm going with lunch.
Lunch. Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah, there you go.
Sleep during lunch. Okay, very good.
All right.
Dave?
I said Dave Sports.
There you go. Oh, making fun
Dave.
Of himself.
I'm going to count that as a match.
Yes, lunch? How is lunch and Dave Sports a match?
Thanks, Mary. Close.
She's the judge. Yes.
The noon business hour.
The noon business hour.
Yeah, not because it's boring.
Because it's noon.
Because it's noon.
Well, I'm driving home at that time. I hardly think I'm sleeping.
The noon business hour. Now, by the way, most people have lunch at noon. Judges?
No. Very good. Yes.
During yoga.
Yes. During yoga.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That is a very good
one. Like
that is
yoga.
A very good one.
Don't yes. like yoga.
Mike?
Well, during this show. I mean, I'm bored the whole time. You forget about me. We're always late.
You have lunch before 10.
That's true. Yes.
All right, Mary.
Mary upstairs?
The true answer, 60 Minutes.
Oh, the TV show on Sunday.
Wow.
Okay.
Very good.
That was
not
one
match.
Well, no, I think that Mike and I match.
A lot of bets.
No, that's
not how the game works.
Jim is the
Mary's subconscious and I match.
Yeah, but the celebrities matching doesn't matter.
What did Jim even say? I don't even remember his answer.
We got to send him into a biology class, get him rules for the game. I mean, what?
Train wreck. Jim, you're a consolation winner, but we have stuff for you. Hold on. And Dennis, congratulations, Dennis. You get the Carol Burnett tickets. And you're going to go see Carol Burnett. If you could bring my mom, she really liked the show, Dennis, and she'd love to go with you. Carol Burnett, June 13th. Get tickets at chicagotheater.com. Thank you, John. You don't match other celebrities.
I know. I forgot for a moment. I'm sorry. I had a lapse.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo! Ow!
Love that money.
First half hour of this 7 o'clock hour, we tried to save you money from not being scammed. Now let's talk a little money with Elise Glink. She's in California right now. What are you, fighting forest fires? What are you doing?
I am. This is a full-service radio contributor here.
Well, nicely done by you. Elise travels all the time, all over the country, talking about money. Hey, before I jump in here, Bitcoin still going nuts or not?
Oh, it's completely insane now that they're trading futures against it. I don't know. I just read a story this morning that people in parts of this country and in England are mortgaging their houses to buy Bitcoin. A sure sign of a bubble.
Yeah, and a bubble that will burst, and you don't want to be in the bottom end of it. So I don't know. If you've got $17,000 or $18,000 lying around, I don't know that I'd spend it on a Bitcoin.
I would not, but that's just me.
All right, so great job numbers again, and what are we looking at here?
So the job numbers came out even stronger than economists thought. So the expectation was around 195,000 new jobs created, and in fact, they created something like 228,000. And this number from the federal government is, this is the number that Donald Trump said was suspect. Now he's celebrating it. So take that for what it is. But the deeper numbers, the more impressive numbers come from looking at the aggregate. So one of the things that people have talked about since really 2000 in the recession that we had is the idea of a jobless recovery. And it was different from other kinds of recoveries from different recessions. And even in 2008 to 2012, we saw that hiring really wasn't picking up. It was a very sluggish thing. But since we've really kind of kicked into high gear. So since 2010, this country's created 17 million new net jobs.
That's net. That means gain, kids.
Yep.
That's over the number.
And,
So the reason that this is all good news is that means excessive money in the system, not excessive, but extra money in the system, which should create more home buyers, but there's no homes to buy.
Right. So the problem that we're having, according to the housing economists, is still we have not enough homes in the market. And out here in California, we had an interesting discussion. I'm in Orange County, in a place called Tustin, which is right next to Newport Beach. And Newport Beach is like home of the rich and famous and glittery and all that. And Tustin is more working class. But working class out here in Tustin, in North Tustin, in Irvine, and some of these places in the Anaheim area, working class might mean $690,000 for a starter home.
Wow.
And that's really unaffordable.
But has it affected the population? In other words, are people leaving the state?
So, people are leaving California, but not in droves. What it's done, though, which is sort of interesting, and one of the reasons that housing prices are rising, is the idea that there are a lot of Chinese investors who are coming in and they're buying houses, and that people are just moving here in droves. And it's just sort of an interesting concept that, you know, the Californians who are born in California, who are, you know, American by, you know, maybe two or three generations or more, are being displaced by a new wave of immigration. It's interesting how their price pressures are different in different parts of the country.
It's interesting, too, though, from the immigration standpoint, right? Because I can come, if I'm from China and I have a bunch of money, I can come to California and spend a bunch of money on a house. But I'm not a citizen, so I can't stay.
Right. There's an interesting loophole that allows people who have money to come to this country if they can start a business that will employ 10 people. I think the number is 10, and I forgot the number of the regulation. There was also a thing about buying, coming to this country and investing in real estate or property. And I don't know where that stands either, but there does seem to be, and has been over the last 15 years, the National Association of Realtors has talked about, you know, the immigration from China or Russia and other places around the world where people are moving here because they still think that America is the land of dreams.
Right. So start a business with 10 people, if that's the number, and then you get to stay. So that clears up that question. All right. Let me take it back to the job numbers for a second before we get to this deeper dive on the home construction side. There's no question that Trump deserves some credit for making decisions or creating assumptions about the market. But so does Obama, because this trend started with Obama. And it is a trend that grew through and into Trump. And Trump has made it bigger with this this promise to pull regulations. If this tax bill doesn't get done, what happens to the market?
The stock market?
Yeah.
Or the jobs market?
Well, both.
I think the stock market is on shaky ground. I read yesterday described it as kind of a sugar high, which is an interesting way to put it. And what will happen if interest rates actually start to go up? And so what over the last couple of years, you've had me on the show, I've been on Bertrand, I've told you what the housing economists have said, and this goes back to 2012. They were projecting mortgage interest rates by now would be at 5% and 6%. They're not. It's still at 3.75%.
Right.
So the bond market is not cooperating with where the economists think things should be. I think they're a little bit confused by that. But one of the things that should start to make that move is the unwinding of the trillions of dollars in mortgage-backed securities and other bonds that the Federal Reserve is holding and that they bought during the recession to kind of juice the economy a little bit. And they need to start unwinding that, and people believe that that will finally push interest rates above 4% to stay and maybe even closer to 5%. And that's going to have a pretty profound effect on the housing market. It's going to have a profound effect, I think, on the economy. And there's a very delicate balance that everybody has to walk.
So we could go from a shortage of homes to a glut of new homes that can't be sold because you're looking at 5% and 6% mortgages if it pops that high.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. There's a dramatic shortage in the number of houses for sale, whether it's existing homes or new construction. So the new construction is easy. Let's talk about that. A lot of people left the sector. So you need actual people to build houses. You can't have AI do it just yet. So people need to be trained. They need to know how to put up wallpaper, and they need to know how to hammer things together and all the things that go into building a real house, right?
Yep.
And they left the industry, and there has been one problem is there are not enough qualified people to build houses. The second problem is that construction jobs are still well below pre-recession levels by, according to some estimates, 20%. So There's no way to build the same number of houses as before without bringing more labor into the marketplace. And there seems to be a lack of labor. People can't find the right people to build. So they, economists are saying there's going to be a shortage in the new construction industry. Move over to the existing home side, and you've got several structural problems that start with mortgage interest rates. Because they're so low, I don't know about you, I think we've talked about this. I refinanced my house, I don't know, 6-7 years ago for like 3%.
Right.
I don't think I'm ever getting rid of this loan, right?
Right.
So
cheapest money you could have.
So yeah, absolutely. I wish I'd bought 10 more houses at that price.
Right, right, right.
So I have a low payment. I'm a baby boomer. My kids have moved out. I should be the person who should be selling and downsizing. But all the other prices of homes have risen so quickly, mine included, that if I sell my house, it's likely I'll have to buy a smaller house but pay as much or more for my house. And I like where I'm living. So the age bracket that you and I are in, who should be moving, we're not moving. Our houses are not going on the market. And that's a real structural issue that economists don't know how to solve for yet.
Right. So the problem here seems to be if you have a shortage of skilled construction workers that creates, therefore, a shortage of new homes being built and builders not being able to staff those jobs. So they're not spending the money and investing in building. The new Wall Street market, that pop doesn't mean anything because you're still going to have people looking for homes and no homes to buy. And in a seller's market, paying too much for homes that are out there. Good Lord, woman, look what you've created.
Right. So this is into this. You asked about tax reform. So tax reform for, you've got a home ownership, which is now at the lowest level in about 50 years. So that, of course, makes real estate agents very nervous because people don't have a lot to buy. And millennials who really didn't buy anything or want to buy anything until last year when the eldest of the millennials who were 34, 35, 36 started to buy houses for the first time. You have this tax reform bill that basically, for the first time in over 100 years, isn't promoting home ownership. And here's why it's important. Maybe homeowners shouldn't be incentivized above renters. And I get that argument. And there's some validity to it. But if you look at net worth of people and where the most of the net worth comes from, it comes from owning a home. So incentivizing people to buy a house where they are going to pay interest, but you're going to pay rent too. But a portion of that goes to pay down the debt that you owe against that house and becomes enforced savings. If you look at the vast swath of Americans, whoever owns a home and manages to stay there and get that mortgage paid off, they're the wealthier people in this country. And so by de-incentivizing home ownership, we don't know what that's going to do to the long-term net worth of Americans, but it's probably not moving them in the right direction.
And that therein lies the greater problem. Politics over policy will always create bigger problems that will have to still be solved by politicians. What a tangled web we weave. Elise Klink, sponsored by Grandview Homes. It is 7:58. A couple pieces of sound from yesterday as the polls are open in Alabama. And Alabama spends the day today trying to decide what its national image will be, a furtherance of the cliche of a bunch of southern yokels or people who are willing to stand up and defend what's good about their state and not ruin their business and tourism and the like over a guy who got banned from a mall, whose wife Kayla was heard last night to say something that, it's just hard to imagine. Here's Kayla Moore at last night's Roy Moore rally, defending the fact that, hey, they have friends.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews. I tell you all this because I've seen it all, so I just want to set the record straight while they're here. One of our attorneys is a Jew.
That's it. That's it. That's all you need to know.
And why does the crowd...
Check, please.
Why does the crowd laugh at that?
I think about of uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable right there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big umbrella of uncomfortable, a big bowl of uncomfortable. You know, one of our attorneys is a Jew. Mm-hmm.
Did she then say, and happy Hanukkah?
No. But that does start today.
Yeah, I believe so.
Happy Hanukkah to everybody, including my Alabama Jews.
One of our attorneys is a Jew.
Charles Barkley is speaking out about his state of Alabama. Chuck's an Alabama native.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley spoke at an event for Doug Jones, a Democrat, and urged people not to vote for Roy Moore. But Chuck says it in a special way.
There's no way possible this guy should, number one, be in an election. There's no way. I mean, it's unbelievable that this guy is still in the race. When people in your own party say they won't vote for you or support you, that's a damn giveaway. It's amazing. I am begging and urging everybody to get out, call all your friends. We got to, at some point, we got to stop looking like idiots to the nation.
There you go. Charles Barkley begging his fellow Alabamians, let's stop looking like idiots to the nation.
You know, he doesn't always make sense.
He did there.
He did.
Dean will join us after the news. That's next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
All right, good morning to Dean Richards, live at Channel 9. Hello, Dean.
May the force be with you.
Let me shout loudly, like I'm very excited about the information you're about to impart upon us.
You are excited.
Have you seen the movie?
Saw it yesterday.
Can you review it yet?
Nope.
So this is not a review.
Steve, I cannot give you a review. The Disney Studios that now owns the Star Wars franchise and most of the world. They have requested
that you get out of show business.
Ordered. Well, I'm sure that that's occurred to them many times over the last several years. But they have asked all reviewers to wait today until 11 o'clock. Now, why they have chosen?
Why 11 o'clock?
11 this morning. I have no idea why they've chosen that. But you know, and I could ignore it. I could completely ignore it. They don't own me. Disney, you don't own me.
They don't own you.
They don't own me. You're not the boss of me.
No, that's exactly right.
But if I break what they call the embargo on this,
well, then what happens?
Then I will be sent to movie reviewer purgatory.
Well, you don't want to do that.
And I'll never be able to talk to another Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar. What else does Disney own?
Well, here's the thing.
I'll never get on Channel 7.
I don't.
I'll never get on Channel 7.
ESPN.
ESPN, forget it. My chance of ever being a sports commentator will be shot if I, you know, if I ignore a Disney request.
Well, here's the thing. I would never want to get you into any kind of trouble. Ever. You know that about me.
Oh, I know.
So what do you think of the movie?
Steve, I'm not allowed to review the movie until 11 o'clock this morning.
Well, if I said to you, I'd rather see the movie or punch myself in the face, which would you choose?
That would be too much like reviewing the
movie. Oh, would be? Okay.
Yeah, but here, I could tell you this. When I went into the movie yesterday around 1 o'clock, you know, I'd been up since 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, you'd probably know this, around 1 o'clock. 12 o'clock.
You're mush.
You get a little sleepy. You get a little mushy. Sometimes you can even be in what one might call a bad mood.
Sure.
You know, kind of grumpy.
Yeah.
Like when I came, the movie's 2.5 hours long.
Oh,
that,
boy.
I can tell you that.
Yeah, boy.
Didn't feel like it was 2 hours, 2.5 hours long.
Now that's almost a review.
That's a good review.
I'm just saying that it didn't, those 2.5 hours. I'm not saying, I don't know if it had to do with the movie.
Oh, I see. Or it just felt like the afternoon flew by.
It just felt like the afternoon flew by.
Got it.
But you
totally
weren't asleep.
I did not fall asleep.
Okay.
I did not fall asleep during it.
How long was the intermission?
They did not have an intermission. They did not have it. There were no people coming down the aisles with refreshments either. That didn't happen. That would be nice if they did that.
Sure.
I will say I did enjoy a lovely pack of Twizzlers, so maybe it was. Maybe
is that a review of the Twizzlers?
Well, I enjoyed them.
Whole pack?
Nobody said I could not enjoy the Twizzlers.
Right.
You don't eat a pack of Twizzlers when you.
It's a lot of Twizzlers.
No, The little pack of Twizzlers is no more than 70 or 80 in there.
It's not that big. I don't think it's that unusual.
And they're not noisy either, so that's okay.
Oh, well, the package is. But, but I unwrap my Twizzlers, if you'll excuse the expression, before the movie starts.
Sure.
But so here's all I can say. Here's all I can tell you is when this movie was over, when the credits came up.
You got up and left.
I did get up and leave, but man, I was in a good mood.
That to me sounds like a review.
In such a good mood, it's all I can tell you.
And sugar high.
I am not reviewing the movie. I'm just telling you.
Would you rather?
This is really more a review of Dean's my state of being.
Would you rather be audited by the IRS or see it again?
Who wants to be reviewed by the IRS?
Well, sounds like a review right there.
Yeah, and if nobody, if you're happy at the end and you're in a good mood, nobody must have died.
Well, no, it's Star Wars. Somebody died.
Yes, they do.
People were definitely killed.
Yeah, people die all the time.
Liam Neeson died in Star Wars.
Yeah, people die all the time. There's lots of people going to die. Well, it's not tragic. It's actually a movie.
Must be about 11 o'clock now.
Yeah. Well, honestly,
have we been talking for 3 hours already?
No, it's 8:15 here.
I just moved the hands, though.
It's 9:15 in Washington, or in New York.
Right.
Well, in Washington as well. It's 10:15 in Nova Scotia. Let's pretend London.
If I was in London,
right, obviously. But I'm trying to find a place where it's 11:15. I think Greenland, Iceland.
Okay.
So this show does get broadcast in Reykjavik. So for our Reykjavik listeners, what do you think of the Star Wars movie?
I really enjoyed those Twizzlers. I don't know what the equivalent is. I'm sure they must have some sort of Lutefisk-flavored...
Oh, sure, Lutefisk.
...flavored Twizzlers.
Oh, Lutefisk Twizzlers and a big glass of Lefse.
Herring-flavored Twizzlers there. I don't know. I've never had those. But these strawberry ones that I had yesterday, there's nothing like a good Twizzler.
Have you ever been in a good mood after a bad movie?
Never.
Okay. All right, we'll come back.
That has never, never, ever, ever happened.
All right, Dean, show business career appears to be over. Stand by for that. We'll come back and talk about the rest of the news. But first, here's Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Dean cannot review and release his opinion of the new Star Wars movie that he saw. Was it yesterday, son?
Yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday. Can't do it until 11 o'clock. Can't do it. Don't ask him.
My lips are sealed.
If you were, would you rather be stuck in an elevator with Mancow or see the movie again?
Oh, be stuck in an elevator with Mancow for some...
What?
Fascinating.
What?
Yeah. Well, you know I love good intellectual conversation.
Everyone with him would say, hello, Eric. Eric. You know, his real name's Eric. He hates when people say that. Good morning, Eric Cow.
I love anyone who has any sort of bovine reference in their name.
All right, moving on. Bill Murray's in the news?
Well, not really. But
you just wanted a clip of Bill Murray to play today?
Well, it's it has to do with the movie that I saw yesterday.
That you can't review?
Yeah. Mm. But you'll enjoy this, though. Go ahead. We can just hear a little of it.
Let's go out with something really hot for these folks. A big hit out of 77. Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars.
Not in the news at all today.
Star Wars.
That's good.
1978.
And that's a great way to wrap up this segment where you did not review the new Star Wars movie.
A golden oldie.
A couple of people showing off their new babies, or at least talking about them.
Jimmy Kimmel on his late night show last night returned after being off last week. His 7-month-old son, Billy, had open heart surgery last week.
Tough little guy.
He's a tough, tough little guy and a cute little guy, as we found out last night. Jimmy Kimmel opened the show with little Billy.
And it sounded like this. No, we don't have it. We don't have it. Okay, we don't have it.
Wah!
Actually, he wasn't crying at all.
I had heart surgery.
No. Well, he wasn't a baby about it. He was just looking around. He was just looking around.
He was adorable.
All right, how about this? Rock is having another baby, which, by the way, is going to just wreck his figure.
That's going to be painful. Yeah. I know they say childbirth is the worst pain, but you forget it right away. But The Rock announced that his girlfriend is going to be having a little girl. Mm-hmm. They posted a picture of his two-year-old daughter with a little note that said, you know, I'm proud, I'll be a big sister soon. And it was, you know, absolutely adorable. So this will be The Rock's third child. He's got a teenage daughter.
A two-year-old.
From an earlier marriage. And let's hear that clip. Oh, yeah, right. We don't have that one either.
That two-year-old, by the way, in case you guys don't know, appearing in Fast and Furious 9, really, who gives a crap? That's the subtitle.
You should see her work on a submachine gun.
Yeah, I bet it's strong.
It's adorable.
One more late-night bit of information. The mayor, Rahm Emanuel, showed up on Colbert.
Rahm Emanuel. Mostly they goofed around a little bit. Mostly talked about Donald Trump and the city of Chicago's efforts regarding the president. But they also talked about President Trump's recent acknowledgement of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And here's what that sounded like.
You work for two administrations. The Trump administration just acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Why didn't the two administrations you worked for do that?
First of all, no Democrat or Republican president would ever do this. No,
I'm just asking about the administrations you worked for.
Because it's bad policy.
Why? Because it's the capital of Israel.
No. The fact is because it's for a whole host of reasons, you do not want the United States in the middle of negotiations about a two-state solution to be. And I'm, you know, my father's from Israel, been to Israel. My son's been bar mitzvah there. This is not what a president should be doing.
So you don't think he shouldn't have done this?
Not only don't think he should do that, my bigger worry is that he's now also moving the nation's capital to Alabama, and I'm really more concerned about what he's doing there.
That's true. I'm okay with it.
There you go. A little Rahm on...
What about Rahm? Rahm pulling the punchline to get out.
Good. Right. He knows how to... His many years of experience of being on your show.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't bring me up. All right, let's go live to John, who has a final question for you, Dean.
Actually, it's more of a statement. I saw Dean a little bit on Sunday, but that Family Classics that you did on Friday, Blue, Jackie, and my wife, we watched it. It was phenomenal.
Aren't you nice?
It was so good.
Thank you.
John loves the classic movies.
Yeah.
And the classic TV.
It was WGN's Family Classics that we brought back on Friday, and we've gotten all kinds of fantastic response to it, so that's very nice, and... I hope we can do it again. It's we enjoyed it.
It was so good. Was
Dean Richards, would you rather be? He'll review
11
the
o'clock
Star Wars
today.
Movie later.
11 o'clock. I'll be.
I don't want to be on TV.
8:29. Was that really Kimmel's kid, or was that an actor?
No.
Okay.
I would never make that up because Disney also owns that show. I think.
Yeah. By the way, nice job sending us the Rock of audio. That was cool. 8:29, more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 8:40, polls open in Alabama. The vote is on.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, lot of things going on.
Got a couple of clips I want to play for you from yesterday. There's been an increased focus, for obvious reasons, on the pea-grabbing president and his record in this Me Too era in particular. And the White House's defense of it is frankly maddening. If we have lowered the standard of the United States Senate to someone who has been accused on multiple occasions of stalking teenage girls, and someone, according to actual witnesses, not made-up eyewitnesses, but actual witnesses, of being banned from a mall for the same, it shouldn't be a surprise. Because, according to the White House, the people have spoken. Yesterday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders said it again. I'll play it for you in a second. The people have spoken. This has been decided. Here's what drives me crazy about this. By saying you didn't do something, by denying it, doesn't mean you didn't do it. If denial is our new standard of innocence, then let's let everybody out of prison. Because there's a lot of people in jail who said they didn't do it. So isn't it fair to ask the question, why, Mr. President, are all these women saying the same thing? And investigate it. That's why Congress investigates it. Congress has the power to remove this president from office for high crimes and misdemeanors. That impeachment road may still be traveled. But don't you kind of want to know if the president of the United States is a predator or not? Yesterday, when Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that this is settled, that the people have spoken for the 9 millionth time, if you go by that scorecard, just using that scorecard, then the election doesn't serve in your favor, President Trump. Because the popular vote, you lost by 3 million votes. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with Hillary Clinton. I don't care that Hillary Clinton isn't president. I care that he is. So if you lost the election by 3 million popular votes, you probably ought to drop that argument. Secondarily, just as adults, just as grown-ups, I don't care what your political persuasion is, don't you want to know if the president is a predator? And shouldn't the president be standing up and talking about how outraged he is that this has come up? And he wants to show to more than half the population, the women of this country in particular, but everybody, that he's not a predator? Wouldn't you, if you were accused of the same, and if you, in fact, were innocent? A vote does not mean you're innocent of a charge. That has nothing to do with the other thing. Those two things are not connected. Just because the public elected Donald Trump through the Electoral College doesn't mean he didn't sexually assault women. And like Russia and like everything else, if he has committed crimes, he should have to answer to those. Here's the sound. Sarah Huckabee Sanders yesterday at the White House.
Question that when journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes, and a lot of times you don't. But there's a difference. There's a very big... I'm sorry. I'm not finished. There's a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposefully misleading the American people, something that happens regularly. You can't say, I'm not done. You cannot say, that it's an honest mistake when you're purposely putting out information that you know to be false. Ryan, I called on Jim.
This is not the line of questioning that I was going down, but can you cite a specific story that you say is intentionally false, that was intentionally put out there to mislead the American people?
Sure. The ABC report by Brian Ross, I think that was pretty misleading to the American people. And I think that it's very telling that that individual had to be suspended because of that reporting. I think that shows that the network took it seriously and recognized that it was a problem.
Sarah,
Jim?
If I may, though, I was going to ask a question about something
well,
else.
Well, you used it on something well, else.
Sarah,
Jim?
Sarah, if I may.
I'm moving to a different Jim. I'm sorry.
I know, but I didn't get a chance to ask the question that I wanted to ask, which is,
Jim,
can you just say once and for all whether these accusations of misconduct against the president, you said that he's denied them. Can you say whether or not they are false?
I'm not going to respond to that question. Go ahead, Jim.
Rough day. Rough day yesterday at the White House. And by the way, Brian Ross was suspended because he made a mistake he's now sitting out for with a suspension. Brian Ross doesn't make up the news. CNN doesn't make up the news. Breitbart makes up news. One Network News, that ONN thing that the president cites all the time, that's fake news. It's a ridiculous road to continue to have to travel, and it's just an outrage that it comes from the White House. Jake Tapper took this cause up yesterday because remember the specific statement that Sarah Huckabee Sanders said there. When you put out information specifically to mislead, that's wrong. Roll it.
Trump White House today said it is wrong when people put out information that they know to be incorrect in an attempt to mislead the Republic. That's right. The White House, run by the president who came to political prominence by promoting the lie that the first African-American president was born in Africa, is finding time to take issue with those who mislead people. The White House, run by the president who has said with no evidence that crowds of American Muslims were seen on TV celebrating in New Jersey after 9/11, the man who repeated the ludicrous National Enquirer claim that Ted Cruz's father had something to do with the Kennedy assassination, and the man who has said with no evidence that there were 3 to 5 million fraudulent votes for Hillary Clinton. That same president is taking issue with people being misled.
Traffic. Mary's here with it on 720 WGN. What do you got? .851, Steve Cochran Show continues. Next Northwestern basketball game is when?
Thursday night.
That same night as the Hawks play here, so you'll be on AM 1000. The Hawks will be here.
And the Wildcats play Valparaiso.
And the Hawks have who?
The Hawks on Thursday night are...
I don't know either. I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, they go to Minnesota. Is that... No, they're at Winnipeg. That's right. They're at Winnipeg. In fact, that's the game that we will have a special guest analyst in the booth for that game. Are you aware of this?
In place of Troy?
In place of Troy. Troy's going to have to miss a game for his daughter's graduation.
Seems to make sense.
And an old friend of yours is going to step in to the booth that night.
Who's that? Tyra? Tyra Banks?
Tyra Banks is going to join John Weideman and do the color.
I didn't know she knew anything about hockey.
No. This is a guy who used to play for the Blackhawks. Used to be a regular on your show. And sometimes
Soupy.
Still is, yes.
Brian Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't know what he knows about hockey, but that's great.
Hopefully a little. After what, 14 years in the league or whatever?
Saw him yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I know he's not been even retired a year, but he looks, I mean, he's 37, 38. He looks 22.
Yes.
It's amazing how fast he still is. You should have seen him trying to get away from me when I was talking
to him. I
did. Yeah. All right, so all the Hawks games are here, and Northwestern basketball leading right up to the run through March Madness, and the national championship will be here.
Okay, that works.
So that's all good. Oh, speaking of sports,
yes,
Coach Ditka is on every Monday with us,
mm-hmm.
and the coach is on the phone now. But I'm afraid to pick it up because I don't know if it's the coach or the coach.
Well, we just talked to him yesterday. He was in good spirits.
But
Bears win.
The coach is Ditka.
Yes.
The coach is the guy that yells at me.
Oh, that guy?
I don't know. Let's go. Good morning, Coach.
Happy holidays, Cochrane.
Here we go. Happy holidays to you.
Ho, ho, ho.
You sound a little tired this morning.
I ain't tired, Cochran. I've been getting all my energy gets going when I get a chance to talk to you.
Well, that actually doesn't sound like an insult. That sounds like a compliment.
No, I don't want to insult you. It's the holidays. I wanted to just call and say happy holidays to your family, your son, Roth. Your daughter, Mammy, your beautiful wife, Marlene, and that little granddaughter of yours, Abacus.
Well, you're close. I'm touched by this. I'm touched by the fact that you actually are softening for the holidays, that maybe our relationship has changed, and now when you call, it's nothing but rainbows and puppies. Is that the way this is going to go?
Well, here's the thing, Cochran. I want to be nice, you know, and I guess for the holidays, just let me give you a little advice. You could lose some weight if you didn't put mayo on your Advil.
Here we go. What else you got?
I'm pretty proud of you. You're the reason double doors were invented. Thank God for Cochran.
Well, they had to come sometime. Anything else on your mind?
No. I didn't want to say it was boring, but I pretty much fall asleep halfway through your name.
Halfway through my name? So after Steve, you nod off?
I'm pretty much gone. It's
he's gone. Just like that, he's gone. Coach?
What was that?
It's snoring.
Oh.
He fell asleep halfway through my
something
name.
Something else.
and I was so naive. I thought he'd turn a corner. It's 8:55. CLTV joins us next. And a big, busy 9 o'clock hour still to come on the Steve Cochran Show at 720 WGN. 8:57, as we continue the festivities here on the Steve Cochran Show, I'm trying to get together some ideas on stuff to buy for the people that work on the show. And Mary Vandeveld, I'm having trouble finding Steve Grzanich isn't listening now. I'm having trouble finding any ideas for Steve Grzanich.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, because you're taken care of.
He's
got you
easy.
Locked in. What do you think?
Well, he's a dog lover.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He loves dogs and he loves donuts. So I was thinking of
donuts
that were shaped like dogs.
Oh.
No? Not so good? Not good?
No.
Like a
just
big box of Labradors.
Pet Bath and Beyond stores or something.
Is there a store called Pet Bath and Beyond?
There should be.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah. You know, something with pets. I mean, there's a lot
John,
of pet
do you have any
stores.
Ideas for Grzanich? I mean, anything stores. Better than dog-shaped donuts?
No.
I'm trying to think of...
Space, come on, the guy's got a lot.
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
yes.
Space.
Yeah. We're going back to the moon now, according to Trump.
What if I call my old friend Elon Musk and get him a ride on a rocket? Huh?
Mm? Oh, that's not good.
Call Trump, he'll get him one.
I thought
he was. You guys talking about me? What's going on?
Oh, hi.
No.
Steve, go have another donut. There's about 3 dozen donuts in
the news.
There's
9 dozen of donuts.
Oh, right. That's a good point. Who do we thank for the donuts? Do you have that information?
Oh, yes, I do.
All right.
Thank you. Because today is National Gingerbread Day. How about that?
I didn't know we had
Gingerbread House Day, Tuesday, December 12th. But we have Krispy Kreme to thank. They brought us like a ton of boxes of the gingerbread glazed donuts that are unbelievable.
Did you try one?
They were phenomenal.
Where's the gingerbread glazed donuts?
They're down here.
They're down there.
We'll bring them
all of them down there. We brought up the normal donut.
This is what I do. I always eat like a quarter of a donut, and then I go back a little later, and I get the other quarter of a donut.
So you feel like you're only having a quarter of a donut?
Right. I'm not eating the whole thing.
By about 8:30, the newsroom had already finished about 3 dozen of these donuts.
You could have the planetarium renamed the Grisanitarium.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Thank goodness he's not listening. Earth, wind, and fire. Sandberg is showing off a pale picture. Yeah, it's amazing. I somehow managed to escape the stomach flu, but yet you're showing me pictures of kale. If you can identify the hat I'm wearing this hour, you've got to be watching CLTV to do it. Shot where you can actually see it. If you can identify that hat, we'll give you everything on the prize list that Sandberg's willing to part with. Okay?
Looks good on you.
Yeah, it almost fits my head. Hey, John, I got the Instapot.
Yes.
The Instapot that you were telling me to get, the pressure cooker.
I love it.
Because I don't cook.
You don't have to.
Or
it
will.
It cooks.
All right, so what should I throw in it? You got a favorite recipe?
Well, my favorite recipe is beef stew.
Beef stew.
Yeah, so you just buy a couple of packages.
No, you don't like
beef stew.
What
okay. That's all I've made.
You just made beef stew.
I'm very jealous, Steve, by the way, because this is the gift I wanted to buy on Cyber Monday. Couldn't get it.
Couldn't get the Instapot?
Couldn't get it. Mm-mm.
What, were they out of the Instapot?
They were out of it everywhere I was looking. Yeah.
How about pasta and meatballs?
That works, yeah.
Okay. You put the pasta in.
Yeah.
Put a jar of your favorite sauce.
Okay.
Another jar.
Just dump it in.
Just dump it in. Okay. Another jar
it's
of
like
water.
It's like a Jetsons thing.
It is.
Then I dump in water.
And then you say, Maureen, stop this crazy thing. That's a Jetsons reference.
Right. What else do I dump in there?
So it's one jar of the sauce. Fill that same jar up with water. Dump that in. Put your meatballs in there. Press the timer. It's like 8 minutes, could be 12.
And you're done?
And you're done. And then you open it up. The steam will release, and then you have a meal.
You got to be careful, though, right? I mean, with your pressure cooker.
No.
Oh, you don't have to be.
These are electric pressure cookers.
Oh, okay.
It's not like the old days when they would blow up.
Right.
This is nothing like that, so very safe.
What if you put an entire turkey in it? You just shoved it in it.
They actually blew up back then?
Shove it.
Yeah, they did.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they did. But these are very safe, and it's so easy. You'll notice. Did you see the front of it? All the buttons.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I love the buttons.
It's really easy.
And they light up.
Man, it'll say pasta right on there. You just push it. Boom.
Okay.
It's done. A little seasoning, whatever you like to put in there. Close it. It takes about half an hour for it to get to pressure, 8 minutes to cook, and then you got what we call dinner.
Well, if I put, like, chicken in there with a roll, could I get out a chicken sandwich?
Yes. Mm. With mayo and lettuce. Throw that in there as well.
I like chicken.
Okay. Chicken's good in there, too.
We'll talk to Mark Doyle in detail later this hour, but if you're watching CLTV, you may notice that Mark and Dave Ennett are both dressed in ugly Christmas sweaters. I got to say, they're not actually ugly.
No, they look...
What do you think?
And Dave is standing up now. You can see Mark's... as well. It says Merry Christmas. This is available at Rags of Honor.
You like this?
Yeah, it looks good on
beautiful.
You.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm sure Mark is going to insist that you take it with you as you go now since you've worn it.
Yeah.
Or
those aren't ugly, though.
No, they're nice.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
nice. Ragsofhonor.us. All right, more from Mr. Easy. More from Mr. Doyle coming up. On New Year's Eve, we will be at
the wonderful Tivoli.
And here in studio is
Mark Mazremus.
Right. I pulled a muscle.
Our good
trying
friend,
to,
I said that.
You I
said
tried to. I pulled right, a muscle trying it. To pronounce your last name last time you were.
I got it down.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How are things at the cinema?
You know, they're really good. It's you know, the season where Hollywood is wrapping a nice lot of nice little movie gifts and coming out, and of course our Tivoli Theater where you guys are going to be New Year's Eve. We're kind of wrapping up. Every year we do a holiday classic film series. Last night we ran the original Miracle on 34th.
Wow.
And we had over 500 people, 70th anniversary.
Original edition. Miracle on 34th starring Sebastian Cabot?
No.
Who was the original?
That would have been Edmund Gwynn.
Edmund Gwynn. Yes. Ding, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding.
The guy that played Herman Munster.
Thanks for playing. Yes. We have some lovely party gifts for you, Steve.
And a very young Natalie Wood, by the
Oh,
way.
That's true. Yeah.
Beautiful Natalie.
John Payne, Maureen O'Hara.
There you go.
Right. Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes. Tonight we are doing Christmas Vacation, which is a standard. We run it every year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get at 7 and 9:30, and I'm going to guess for the 7 o'clock we'll have about 750 people. A lot of strange people. You think these are strange sweaters?
They dress for the theme.
Oh, my God. They dress. You see the Blackhawks with Griswold on the back. And last year I saw a guy who had a squirrel on his shoulder as he was walking around. So that's our show at the Tivoli tonight. And then we wrap up Wednesday with White Christmas. We'll run it.
And you know what's cool about the White Christmas?
That's the original White Christmas with Sebastian Cabot.
With Sebastian Cabot, yes.
In color, in VistaVision.
Yes. And you know, the interesting part about that is that's how I found the Tivoli. Was several years ago, I took Jackie and Christopher, and we went to go see White Christmas at the Tivoli and blown away by that theater. And now look, today, our New Year's Eve, Cochrane New Year's Eve, will be there. How great is that?
Mark DiCarlo is going to join us. He's a Downers Grove kid. And he went off to Hollywood, and he's back. Well, not forever.
I mean, he's not. Just for New Year's Eve. Yeah.
So. A lot of good local talent. And for the series, we will bring up our mighty Wurlitzer organ and sing Christmas carols before the movie. And I could be coerced for New Year's Eve to bring the organist back, maybe a surprise.
Last year when we had the organ rise from beneath, there was a problem where we couldn't communicate directly with the organist. What's the organist's name?
David.
And we couldn't communicate with David, and David didn't know when to come up, so eventually it turned into me standing there going, now. But it's a comedy show, so it worked.
It did work.
Right, it was funny.
Yeah, also, it was funny that organ was coming up as you and I were having internal organ issues.
Internal organ failure.
Yeah, failure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They were waiting for the actual organ to appear. Yeah. An illness-free New Year's Eve promised by us, and we'll be joined on stage by whom?
We will be joined by WGN Television morning show personality Mike Toomey, who's doing a couple of characters.
One of the best stand-ups you'll ever see.
Yes. And a special appearance by Bigfoot doing stand-up. You can't pass
it's
that.
It's
up.
An actual Yeti.
Yes. Yeah. We have a Yeti doing stand-up. Mm-hmm. We have music. Tim Benker will be our announcer again. We've known Tim for a long time.
And still some extra things we're adding.
Oh, yes.
And I'll do my annual year-in review.
Yes, yes.
So if anyone has any idea how to make Trump funny, please let me know soon.
But that's easy. Sunday night, New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock show. We are in by 7. We're done by 9. It's for people who can't stay up till midnight.
That's it. New Year's Eve for people who can't stay awake till midnight. Tickets at
Eventbrite.com. Click on Cochrane New Year's Eve and get your tickets right away. And they're going, so please do it because we're going to have so much fun this year. And as you said, Mark DiCarlo is stopping by.
Mark DiCarlo will be there as well as one of our special guests. And everything I ever wanted to know about a movie theater. Have you ever had a question about a movie theater or the operators? One of my first jobs is working in a movie theater. Ever had any questions about a movie theater that you really want answered? Because Mark and I can answer them because I worked there for 6 months in 1978. Huh? Any question? Any question at all about a movie theater? Anything at all you want to know about a movie theater?
Did your friends get in for free?
That's why I got fired the first time.
Shocking.
Now, movies, when I was working at the movie theater, movies were delivered on a platter system.
Right.
These giant platters of film, and I mean huge. And then the film would be threaded through the machine, and the machine would actually show the movie. But they entrusted idiots like me to actually thread the film. I would assume it's all a digital thing now?
It is all digital now. There's no threading, and the presentation should be as pristine the first time you see it as the last time the movie shows, where in the days of film and platter.
So we don't have any broken films anymore.
No scratch prints.
But the film breaks, and then somebody comes out and goes, we're going to need a few minutes. We don't have any of that anymore.
So wait, go back. Now, that is curious. So it's digital. What does that mean? Physically, what shows up?
It's basically a kind of a hard drive. It's downloaded to the theater, and they give them keys when they can open it to show it. A lot of secrecy in doing it.
And it expires at a particular time, right?
Right.
Yeah. How about that?
Wow.
All right. You guys, of course, there's a theory that movie theaters only stay in business because of the profit margin made on snacks. Is that the number one profit margin in a theater?
It is. It is. There was always a rule of thumb, if you closed the concession stand and you just tried to operate off the ticket sales, we would all be out of business. So we do depend on people stopping by, popcorn, soft drinks. And one of the reasons Classic Cinemas offers free refills is to encourage people to go to the stand. You get that bucket of popcorn, you want to bring it back 2-3 times, it's okay with us. Even take some home. I've seen John fill the bucket up and take some home with us.
Yeah. I did, yeah. And I do that. Yeah,
I was
closed.
I've
many times it's been closed. I've gone.
Yeah, it's not a jewel. Yeah, you don't get to just come in. It's coming.
I have a Tivoli card.
What is the number one selling candy?
Strawberry Twizzlers, Dean Richards' favorite candy.
You're selling a lot of Twizzlers.
We sell a lot of Twizzlers.
Now that will also be available on New Year's Eve. You can go to the concession stand.
We're going to have the concession stand open. You can have our great popcorn.
We're the only New Year's Eve show that sells snacks.
Sells snacks.
Hey.
And just for you guys, we'll open a couple of bars.
Which
just
is good.
In case somebody wants a little levity.
And there will be an intermission, so you'll be able to get up and pee.
Exactly. But that's not their only theater. They've got a jillion theaters.
We've got 14 theaters.
That's a jillion.
A jillion.
14.
We just put in new luxury recliners this Friday.
Man.
We will complete 12 of our 18 at Charlestown. And Steve, you got to try these. Our owner, Chris Johnson, is always.
You said recliner.
He's trying to find the ultimate seat. Now, ours, the legs and the back recline with separate motors so you can set it perfectly.
Ugh.
And Chris has come up now. Here. There's a headrest, a third motor for the headrest that you can set that.
See, Mark Doyle just brought up a good point. We should have a recliner here for me.
Yes.
To do the show.
Oh, we'll get one for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
With wireless?
We don't have wireless.
Yeah.
We don't have recliners at the
table. No, we don't.
Because we don't want people dozing off.
We don't want them
too
comfortable.
Show.
Yeah. Comedy and recliners, don't think that goes together.
But that theater is fantastic. It's as beautiful.
It is
beautiful. As
remember. So gorgeous. Beautiful. Yeah, you can go online at classiccinemas.com and go to the Tivoli page, take a virtual tour, and allow you
to
see.
Yeah, what does it hold, like 1,000?
1,000 seats.
1,000 seats.
Yeah,
so there's plenty
of room. I would encourage
room.
People, because DiCarlo and I talked about this, I would encourage people who maybe grew up in Downers and moved away and haven't been back, come back to where you used to see the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's beautiful. And right before you guys, they can see Star Wars there. We're doing Star Wars as a lead-in this year for your comedy show.
And I'm dressing as Princess Leia.
I was going to say, Steve and I are doing, two scenes from the movie?
Yes. Yeah, dramatic read-throughs.
Yeah.
All right, how do I get tickets again?
You go to eventbrite.com, click on Cochran's New Year's Eve, and your tickets are right there. It's easy.
Maria's in Libertyville. Stand by. Maria, what kind of hat am I wearing right now on CLTV?
You are wearing that MLS All-Star hat.
About it, right there, the MLS All-Star hat. Let's see what you've won here. You've won a MyPillow. Oh, fantastic. It's not your pillow, it's MyPillow, and now you have one, so it's your pillow, and you can call it MyPillow. You have a Lou Malnati's gift certificate, so you can have pizza. You also have an Apt gift card to go see our friend Steve Shapiro and all the great people at Apt, Pleasing People since 1812. All of those things for you just for watching us on CLTV.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
Love you back, Maria. Hold the line. All right, one more time. Plug the Christmas movie or lineup.
Christmas Vacation tonight at the Tivoli, White Christmas tomorrow and Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Star Wars The Last Jedi at the Tivoli, leading into the New Year's Eve Steve Cochran Comedy Show.
There you go. Good times had by all. Eventbrite.com.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Get yours now. All your Christmas shopping can be done. And if you're not a fan of the show, but you listen just to get your blood boiling, get tickets for someone you don't like.
No, but it's all going to be fun. It's all going to be fun.
It is fun. Yeah, it is fun. Thanks, man. Hang out.
Thank you.
Hang around for the movies. All right. 9:22. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Fake news would tell you that we don't care for Jews.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
I just want to set the record straight while they're here.
On Chicago's very own.
One of our attorneys is a Jew.
720 WGN.
Any better than that? That's Mrs. Roy Moore. She herself a teenage girl when D.A. Roy picked her up. That's a defense she was laying out, that the fake news was too hard on Roy. And after all, one of their attorneys is a Jew. How bad is this for Alabama? Polls are open today. To decide if Roy Moore or Doug Jones will be elected to the Senate. There has been a Democrat elected in Alabama since the early 90s. One of my best friends, my best friend from high school, one of my best friends runs a couple of hotels in Birmingham. And there's a bunch of great people at the hotel. Everybody you run into. The great thing about Alabama is everybody's friendly. Well, most people are friendly. There's more friendly per capita there. And they're good people. And this idea that they're a bunch of backwards yokels is not true. But you want to imprint and brand your state nationally as the yokel state? Elect this guy today. Elect Roy Moore today. One of the people defending him last night at a campaign rally was a guy named Bill Staley. Served in Vietnam with Roy Moore. So far, so good, right? Right? Here's where it kind of went wrong. Staley said he and Moore accidentally went to a brothel when they were in the service together. He said, we were told it was a private club and we were meeting up with a fellow soldier who was celebrating the end of his tour of duty. Mr. Staley continued, well, there were sure pretty girls there. And some of them were young, some of them probably really young. I don't know. You see how it's going bad here now? Badly? Mm-hmm. And he said, Moore immediately looked around, sized up the situation, counted how many Jews were there and said, we're leaving. We shouldn't be here. We're leaving. In other words, one of his best friends told a story involving an accidental trip to a brothel, and Roy Moore walking out shows you how much character he has. That and the whole Jew thing.
One of our attorneys is a Jew.
That's just the worst.
That is so bad.
I just feel for the good people of Alabama who don't want any part of that nonsense. I hope they get out and vote today. It's 9:29. We'll come back. Mark Doyle's here. We'll tell you all about what's going on at Rags of Honor for Christmas. Order now, right, Mark? Order now.
Ugly Christmas sweater time.
Yeah, but get all of it. Buy all, you can do all your Christmas shopping.
Tons, a lot of new gear, ball caps, knit caps, camo knit caps. Get them while they're
hot. Are they flying?
They're
flying off the door.
Off the hook.
So they're camouflage knit caps. That's a cool idea.
Camouflage knit caps.
Yeah. That's great.
For people who need to be camouflaged.
Well, I'm going to give them to Roy Moore's campaign.
Made in America. Printed by us. Great looking hats.
Everything's made in America.
It is. And you'll be able to get the Blackhawk version in 2 weeks over at the Blackhawk store. Blackhawk.
Oh, that's
camo.
Steve, ask me
cap.
Who I'm wearing.
You know, we have actually. Take those headphones off and come over here and stand by Dave.
Coming over.
See if we can get this on CLTV. Sandberg, tell me, who wore it better? Because both Mark and Dave are wearing the Rags of Honor Merry Christmas. This is why you should watch the show on CLTV when you can. They're wearing the Merry Christmas sweaters.
Fashion plates.
Who wore it better? Now you can vote now on Twitter, Facebook, or call.
Because maybe the 11th caller might get something.
Oh, you want to give some away?
Sure.
All right. Let's go 7th caller.
Seventh caller.
Stay there. We're going to take pictures. Who wore it better, Dave or Mark, with a Rags of Honor ugly Christmas sweaters, which, by the way, aren't ugly. Ragsofhonor.us. Seventh caller. Win some Rags of Honor gear right now. 312-981-7200. We're back with a big story right after this. You can do something really, really, really nice. You can support the cause to end homelessness among veterans. Never thought you'd see a time where veterans were homeless, but the numbers continue to grow. It's a sad situation. And 3 years ago? Is it three?
Yeah, 3 years. We've been in our own facility.
3 years ago, Mark Doyle, it's actually longer than that now, I guess, decided, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to lose all of my money.
How much do I have left?
Yeah, because I am going to start a company, a silk screen shirt printing company. Is that what it's called?
It is. Yes, it still is.
I don't know anything about shirts. I don't know anything about silk screen. And you taught yourself the business, and you have helped change the lives of veterans by bringing them in, getting them off the street, giving them a place to go, giving them some purpose and self-esteem. And it continues, the mission of Rags of Honor.
It does. You know the old saying, you can't take it with you. So I'm making perfectly certain that there's none to take with me when I leave.
Yeah, which is nice.
This planet.
Nice.
Yep. We have, we've hired 70. We are the largest employer of homeless veterans. Yeah, in the country.
Yay. The coveted sitting ovation for you.
Don't get up. Seriously.
Yeah. You should be proud of it. All right, let's hawk the line. What's out for the holidays?
The ugly Christmas sweater, which we launched last year, is out.
Dave, stand up and sell it.
Actually,
sell
it. It's not that ugly.
Stand up and sell
look
it.
It's
that.
Not that ugly.
It's
got the American
give
flag
it a little
on
Victoria's
there.
Secret move to it.
Look,
show
look
it.
It, man. He,
show it, man. Show it.
Show him the. Give him the guns.
Hey, do the fashion walk coming in from
gun
the door.
Gun show.
All right. While he comes in.
So we'll have the ball caps are up. The camo knit caps are up. There's a host of new long sleeves.
Oh, yeah. Look at that walk, huh? Tyra's going to be jealous.
I can't promise you're going to look like this guy in it, but...
Yeah. He does look good.
Yeah,
he does.
It looks, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Made in America was a design we came up with last year. We sold a whole bunch of them. What we don't have up on the site, but I would like a caller to get, is we designed a great T-shirt for the Veterans Day game for the Chicago Blackhawks ice crew.
Oh.
And they are still wearing it, much to our surprise. You'll check in, and there they are skating
so it's cute.
Around.
The girls
it's
like
really
it.
Cute.
Yeah.
You can't buy it anywhere, but I want to give one away
all right.
to a caller at some point before we go
how
home.
How about
today.
Now? 312-981-7200. Describe it again.
I have it here. Can
oh,
somebody
it
see it? Hold it up.
Hold it up.
Here it is.
Oh, is it a hoodie?
It's a hoodie.
Oh, it's a hoodie, but it's a lady hoodie.
A lady hoodie.
Have any size.
Who's that lady?
So it's unisex.
It's unisex, but they go all the way up to 3X. So from small to 3X, we'd love to give you one of these. You can't buy them. You go to a Hawks game, you'll see the ice crew with these on.
It's warm.
And you'll be wearing
cozy.
One. Made in America.
All right. You're going to give it away right now? 312-981-7200 is the number. What's the hottest selling item?
Our Freedom sweatshirt. It's on the front. It's the number one selling item. It's the American flag. It says Freedom, and it's got our tagline. They had our backs. Let's keep the shirt on theirs. And that is by far and away our biggest seller.
And Blackhawks continue to be great partners?
Blackhawks are great partners. We've got, I think, 8 products over at all the team stores right now. Hats are coming out. They continue to just be a tremendous partner for us.
Along and Northwestern.
With Northwestern has been very, very good to us over the years. They led the way in the Big Ten for us. They've been a great partner. So our Chicago partners, WGN, the Blackhawks, Northwestern, doing a lot of work for Amazon these days as well. And, of course, it's cold, and nothing starts to be better off than a cup of Joe.
Yeah, explain this now. This is a separate business because some of your money you hadn't lost yet.
I had a little bit left, and right. My wife, Kip, said, hey, you know, you still got a little money left.
Right, we got to get rid of this
can't
last
we
bit
spend
of money.
It? Actually, she used her money to start the company.
Yeah.
Because all of it was tied up in Rags of Honor. So the term Cup of Joe comes from the Navy. 1914, the Secretary of the Navy is Josephus Daniels, gets aboard a vessel. People are drinking like they used to do, thought it was a bad idea. Issues General Order 99, prohibits drinking alcohol. You can only drink coffee. So to spite him, behind his back, they would say, let's have a Cup of Joe.
So they were mocking him.
They were mocking
so
him.
So that's where Cup of Joe comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, that's actually good to know.
That's the derivation of Cup of Joe. Right?
All right, so Kip met who that was the inspiration for doing this?
So Kip met...
Kip is Mark's fabulous
my
wife.
My beautiful wife. And she met a roaster from Passion House Roasting in the West Loop. Where
this is not a place where you tell jokes about your friends. This is a place where they make coffee.
This is a real place where
yes,
they make coffee.
It's a different kind of roaster.
And we looked around at several different roasters, and the Passion House team said, we love the mission. Start same mission, right? So asking somebody to bring a veteran who was homeless into your spot was a tough sell for some people, but not for the guys at Passion House. And so we came up with our own blend. She drove the whole thing. She hired the first three. She used her own money. We came out with our own two blends, a medium blend, which is our enlisted blend, and our dark blend, which is Night Ops.
And, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
wow, nice. Very good.
Cool. And thanks to the folks at Del Frisco's. We are the coffee of Del Frisco's nationally rolling out into all 55 locations.
That's a great restaurant.
Yeah.
How do you get it?
Pete's Markets. We're all in Pete's Markets. Thanks to the Pete's people who heard me on your show a month ago, called and said, we want you. So we're in every Pete's Market. VeteranRoasters.com. We'll ship it to you if you're in town or you're a business. We actually, someone donated a card to us, one of your great listeners.
Okay.
And so we're going to put a magnet on it that says Cup of Joe, and we're going to deliver around town during the Christmas holidays.
Is there any plan to make it into like a K-Cup?
We're working on that right now. We actually have our experimental models out, and we may be the only one that has a fully biodegradable K-Cup.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. It's really good, too.
So it's good for the environment. It's great for veterans. All right. Website for that.
VeteranRoasters.com.
VeteranRoasters.com or RagsOfHonor.us. Either way, spend your money.
Yeah, but if you're a business, we do coffee service as well. So Coyote Logistics, William Blair uses our coffee.
Is there a link to how to contact you for that?
VeteranRoasters.com. The number's on there. Call and my wife will answer.
Got it.
Yeah. All right. Did you hear that, honey? Enter the phone.
Pick up the phone.
Answer the phone.
It's not me. It's business. RagsOfHonor.us, VeteranRoasters.com. Nice job, buddy.
Thanks, man. All Thanks right. so much.
Well, speaking of this, plug for that, Toys for Tots before we're done, and then Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN.
Is your special someone always cold and sleeps in socks and a sweater?
What are you talking about? Are you talking about Pajamagram?
Yeah, I am. Ooh. I was waiting for the music. Give her a gift that's guaranteed to get her to peel off those layers.
Peel off those layers.
The new Mink Chocolate Hoodie Footy by Pajamagram.
You know, chocolate's good for you.
Yes, it is. Does Rags of Honor make hoodie footies?
They may after this commercial.
An easy way to heat things up this holiday, combining the warmth of a comforter. That's an interesting idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
The coziness of footy pajamas. She'll be feeling warm in no time.
Cover those tootsies. Tootsie.
Somehow the way you say that. Pajamagram's newest hoodie footy.
Yeah, the hoodie footy. Yeah, it's your favorite. What's it cost me? How much is a hoodie footy going to cost me? Is it in there? Because it's a bargain at any price.
It is. It is. It's got the zip feet, the drawstring hood, super comfortable, has cute, sporty appeal, too. Plus, you know, Steve.
What where are you going with this? What are you going to say?
I'm not going to say it.
No, you have to say it. It's
the full-length zipper.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like a full-length zipper.
Like all world-famous hoodie footies.
On a cold winter night.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is you're doing this. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. It's available only at pajamagram.com. Make it a
go catch.
Seriously, make it a hoodie footy holiday. She'll be happy from head to toe.
Pajamagram, we love those guys.
When are the holidays?
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, Christmas delivery guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them you heard it. Beautifully delivered on WGN Radio.
And now here's this. I doubt that he's still holding on after that, but Lieutenant General Pete Osmond was going to join us, and he still is. Well, he's a good man. Toys for Tots continues, and this started in 1947 when the United States Marine Corps got together and said, we need to help the kids. First off, Lieutenant General, thank you for your service. Second, I apologize for what you had to listen to while you were on hold.
Oh, delighted to be with you and your listeners this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. You're still collecting toys and donations, and we want people to know that there are Marines Toys for Tots Foundation donation boxes and collection sites everywhere.
That's correct. Yeah, we right now are in what I call the heart of the program. Coordinators are out there trying to collect as many toys as they possibly can. In several days, probably early next week, they'll shift their focus from the collection to the distribution of the toys to make sure that all the toys and the books and the sports equipment and all the great things that the public has donated ends up in the hands of the right child at Christmas time.
And these are new unwrapped toys, right?
Absolutely. New unwrapped toys that we need them unwrapped because, you know, you got to sort them by age and gender to make sure, again, that the child gets the right toy.
If you go to any Toys R Us or Babies R Us stores, they have collection centers there. Monetary donations will be collected at all stores through December 24th and online at toysrus.com /toysfortots or toysfortots.org. Either one of those will work. I know you've had a lot of corporate help with this as well, but regardless of how well Wall Street's doing, there are two economies. There's the real people economy and the Wall Street economy. And the real people economy says a lot of people are struggling. I'm guessing you need more toys than ever.
You're absolutely right. You know, before the recession back in 2007 timeframe, the Census Bureau told me we had about 12 million children that lived in poverty. When the recession hit, right at the height of the recession, that number skyrocketed up to about 16 million children living in poverty. Of course, for a lot of the nation, there has been an economic recovery, and for many of us, that appears to be reality. However, as you pointed out, for those in the lower economic groups, they haven't seen the same recovery. And right now, we still have 15 million children in our country that live in poverty. So believe me, the demand is still very, very high, and still need those toys, books in our collection barrels. We still need those online donations in order to reach the demand that is out there.
Lieutenant General Pete Osmond, United States Marine Corps, retired as President and Chief Executive Officer for the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation. So give it to me right between the eyes. Don't hold back here, sir. How are we doing in Chicago?
Well, you know, that Chicago is one of those areas of the country where the economy appears to have recovered quite nicely. But I got to tell you, in Chicago, you've got a lot of families that really have not realized that recovery. The demand is still very high in Chicago. Fortunately, the public, the folks in Chicago have always done a great job of supporting the program. Just need to remind them, don't forget, we still need those toys and books this year. Please, if you haven't purchased an additional toy, please go out and do so and drop it in one of our barrels. If you finished your shopping and it's not convenient to go out, go to our website, simply toysfortots.org. Make an online donation that will stay right there in the Chicago area so that your local volunteers and Marines can go out and purchase the toys and books that are needed and get them to the less fortunate kids. So, you know, still time to make a difference. And believe me, we all want to make sure that less fortunate children, you know, enjoy, experience the joy of Christmas and receive a message of hope that otherwise might not be there.
And give me a little Marine etiquette before we go. People mean well, but when a civilian says Semper Fi to a Marine or Oorah, is that appropriate or not?
It is. It is. You know, Semper Fi means always faithful, and it's mm-hmm. something that Marines really take to heart. You know, faithful, certain to our country, to our Corps, and to a fellow Marine. So it's a meaningful expression to a Marine.
What about Oorah?
Oorah, well, I mean, if that's what – I haven't seen a lot of folks use that, but if they want to use that, that's fine as well. Marines understand that language quite well. You know, it's just an enthusiastic greeting, if you will, for a Marine.
Appreciate your service, sir, very much, and thank you for all you do for Toys for Tots. Let's get Chicago out there, make them proud with the Marine Corps, and let's get these kids a nice Christmas. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Lieutenant General, and to you, Lieutenant General Pete Osmond. Back with Bill and Wendy next.